don't expect them to applaud. Keep your eyes on him and tell yourself, I become the work of God. I'll have to sign. I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. Gonna live what I believe. I have to sign. And being good is just a fable. I just can't get on my table. Gonna live it to the Lord. Sing it loud with us one more time. Can you say that God loves me? Say that. God loves me. He does. He loves each and every one of you. And the second that you realize it for yourself is the second that your life changes forever. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And we start celebrating the Lord when you start singing His songs and clapping your hands and enjoying yourself is when the Spirit of God can fill you. Praying like David prayed.
Here we go. And I will.
First reading, you want to call them up?
Can Joe come up and do the first reading?
Joseph, would you like to hold the microphone or you want to have a screen?
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact, body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If he whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole hearing would be the smelling, But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he had pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor, and unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members must rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after the miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are we all workers of miracles? Do all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more elegant way.
Aaron, can you come up and do the second reading?
I'm gonna be reading 1 Corinthians 13, 1-11. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Hears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will always fail. Wherever there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we pray, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known.
Can Will come up and do the third reading?
I'll be reading the 1 Corinthians. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation. and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongue, but even more than you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of language, I shall be the foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be the foreigner to me.
Could you give them another hand, those three young men? I've been blessed to be on stage since I was a teenager, so it's kind of second nature to me. But it's not always easy to stand up in front of people and read such big words and try to be heard. So I think they deserve a lot of your applause and just a nice congratulations. And every Sunday at our church, we say the Our Father. And we don't say it to repeat it. We say it because we mean it. And it's a beautiful prayer that, who gave it to us? God. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us this. Say with us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated, but give him praise, church. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks about joy. Jesus talked about joy, that your joy may be full. That's what I was saying before. I like it when people laugh in church. I like it when you clap. I like it when your spirit receives the message. I like you to come to God's house with joy in your heart. Not be afraid of what you're going to hear, but be hopeful of what you're going to hear. Because I believe, and I'm going to mention in my message, that every Sunday that you go to church, there should be a message for each and every one of us. For how many? All of us. Whatever age you are, when you go in that church and you hear something about God, should be something in it that touches you, makes you think. And that's the way God is. God loves all of us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I dropped that. Right? You love me, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. Hallelujah. To be great takes commitment. Can you say that word with me? Commitment. To be great. In baseball, there are 30 teams in the major leagues, guys. 30 teams. There's 25 guys on that team. There's 15 more guys on the roster. They have a 40-man roster in Major League Baseball. That means there's 1,200 players. 1,200. 1,200. Out of how many millions and millions of guys that want to play in the major leagues, there's only 1,200. You know what it takes? It takes commitment. It takes dedication to be one of those 1,200 people. And that's what we always talk about. You got to be dedicated. It's the same way in scouts. By the way, where's Randy? I know you were there a minute. Oh, there you are. You were over there. But I don't like this. These men here today, these scout leaders, understand something. They're heroes. And if you want to clap, I think you should. These people are heroes. Heroes in the biblical sense. their names might not be written in here, but these men and women are heroes. The parents that send them, they're heroes. You need to know that. Everything that you're learning, you might not like it all. You might forget a lot of stuff, but you'll never forget these men who are leading you. You'll never forget them. I remember my first grade teacher. I'm telling you, I remember. You're going to remember these men and these women. These are the heroes of our city. These men and women are what make Connecticut great by giving their time, their commitment to what they do. And that's the way it is with God. It's the same in scouts, it's the same in school, and it's the same in life. Can I have my older friends say amen? Amen. It's the same way with God. Listen to me. Knowing God, knowing the truth, knowing His Word, I pray you never get, and listen to, I say this a lot on Sundays to people, but the Bible says it's okay to repeat yourself because you're given the Word of God. You're feeding to. I pray that none of my friends ever get the Word of God, knowledge from God, from somebody who doesn't know God. Promise yourself that you won't get knowledge of God from somebody on TV, some entertainer, some sports figure, somebody you don't know who's not even a believer. Because here's the message for today. All are welcome in this house. All. How many? All are welcome. Well, you can. I want you to think anybody you think wouldn't be welcome. I'm telling you, they're welcome in this house. Anyone you can think of. There is a scripture that says one thing in particular. It's a scripture in Corinthians that says, let all things be done decently and in order. Can you say that with me? Decently and in order. All people, everybody is welcome in this house. This is God's house, and we're just the leaders bringing people to God. But you got to come in the house wanting to learn, to be a part of His family, your church family. I hear so much that people go to church every Sunday, and they don't know the person three rows over or two seats behind them. When you come to this church, I promise you're going to know everybody's name, because that's the way we want it. We want you to come in a family, and I think that's what church is supposed to be, a family. Imagine that. Until all are welcome. Just like all people are welcome in your home, right, Sergio? All right? You think about it, Randy. All people are welcome in your home. All of them, right? There's nobody that's not until, hallelujah, someone causes you or your family to not invite them again. Now, what would that be? Disrespect? Maybe they disrespect your parents. Maybe they disrespect your property. Disruption. Maybe their attitude. Maybe the language that they use. You know, some people don't have the best language at all. Amen? It's the same here as in God's house. When you come to God's house, come with a spirit of humbleness. Come wanting to receive. Come wanting to learn. Come wanting to hear something. Not come here to disrupt, because that's what the Bible says is wrong. There's got to be decency and in order. And just like in your house, you wouldn't want it any other way, John. Amen? If you got somebody that comes into your house and steals, are you going to invite them back again? Hallelujah. Well, you know what that takes, though? It takes commitment. There are times, does anybody know that there are times when you run out of strength? When you run out of your own, you run out of patience, you run out of strength. I hear people say, well, you got to read this book, this self-help book. And self-help is good. But it's the time when you run out of strength that what do? Our patience, out of hope. Out of feeling alone. If anybody is ever out of hope, you know how bad that is. You know what many bad things can happen. That's why having a family of God, that's why having a place to come to hear the good news changes your life. Say that with me. Changes your life. Hallelujah. Those are times when knowing God, knowing Jesus, hallelujah, knowing His Word will lift you up. Knowing you are not alone takes faith. It takes what? Understand, believing He is takes faith. Takes what? And He knows you. For you to realize that He knows you takes faith. It takes commitment. It takes understanding. It takes knowing a little bit more about the Word of God for yourself. That takes commitment. But when you know that you know that God is with you, no matter what you're going through, trust me, it changes your life. It changes your life forever. How long? It takes commitment. Now, if I stood up here now and I just read some, if I read something from this beautiful book that I love, I read you a scripture, I quoted some lines in the Bible, and I left it at that, and I left you to that, I would not be helping anybody. I would not be helping you if I just read some scripture and left it there. I would not be helping the church, Lisa. I would not be helping you or helping me. But, say that with me, I love that. But, if I can get you to think, if I can get you for 1 second to be curious, to want to know more, all of us, everybody in the church, then that we are building, we're building something together. If I can get anybody here today to start thinking more about God than you did yesterday, we're building something. If I just read you a scripture and leave it and it just goes off and you leave here and you forget it, that's not going to help anybody. But if I can lead you one step closer, if I can open up one door in your heart, if I can open up one cell in your brain to say, I want more of God, then your life and my life will be changed and this church will be changed. This church will become a beacon to all the valley because people will know they hear the truth. They know that they're accepted here. They know that there's something good going on here. And they see the joy and the love. Isn't that what God is all about? God is not about fear, not about separation. He's about love. But you got to know it. And it takes a little commitment. It's like coming to church on Sunday. That's a commitment. It's an outward expression of an inward conversion. It means when you come to church, everybody can see you're coming. You're coming because you want to be with God. But somebody on the green sees you coming and they say, hey, that's Matthew and he's going to church. And they start thinking, why don't I go to church? You see, when you start doing that and all of a sudden your commitment, see, you're making a commitment to God. You might not even see your neighbors, might not even know that your neighbors see you getting in the car in the morning dressed up. Say, we're going to church. They have two choices, but either choice, they know you're going to church. They can either say, I want to come with you, or I don't do that. But either way, they know you're going where? You made a commitment to who? For a little while on a Sunday. And that's why, again, I'm going to go back to you. I'm going to tell you again, the sermon on Sunday should touch each and every person, John. I tell you that every Sunday. I got to reach everybody. And it's the job that I love. I love serving God. But the sermon on Sunday should be whether you're 10 years old, 20 years old, 70 years old, 95 years old, it should reach you. It should help you in your life. Whew! That gets me all fired up. The beauty of knowing Jesus and His Word is amazing and so powerful. That's like me this morning talking to my granddaughter on the phone. My wife and I were talking to our granddaughter. We were talking to her about how important math is. Any kids, you all great, you all A students in math? Not yet. And me either, I wasn't, but crazy. We tried to tell her how important being an A student in math is. And you know what she said? Yeah, okay. She's an honor student, but she's really wonderful. But it's like trying to just let you see. When I say to you, the beauty of knowing Jesus and His Word is amazing and so powerful, say, yeah, okay. But you see, when you make a commitment, when you start to think, okay, I'm going to try this Jesus out. I want to see what happens in my life if I really just get into the Word a little bit and I learn to forgive as I am asked to be forgiven. When you've asked somebody to forgive you and they do, you feel good, they feel good. Amen? So you say, I want to find out. I want to go to church. I want to go to a church where everybody knows your name. I love that song. I know, don't raise your hand how many saw that TV show was on all the time. No, don't raise your hand. But wasn't that a beautiful song? Can you imagine going into a church and everybody knows your name? Now, we want 1,000 people in this church. Dave and I have been praying. We want 1,000 people to be here, but that's not possible. But I see churches on TV, they have 10,000 people. I said, they can't know each other. They can't know the person sitting up. They don't have time. You see, but here in Derby, we're given a golden key. We're given something so gold right here in Derby. Imagine that, my hometown, where I went to school and I found alumni. She's a freshman, but she's a sister now because we go to the same school. But we have a chance in Derby to light a flame for the whole country to show them that God is real and God loves us and we can do great and mighty things. We can do the impossible. Say that with me. Impossible. With God. If we can get fired up like that, imagine how many lives could be changed. Does anybody have a loved one that doesn't go to church? You like them to go to church? Anybody have a friend that you want them to go to church? They don't go to church? And the only way to really get them is to show that commitment. Show that light. Say, come to my church. It's a lot of fun. And people are going to look at you crazy and say, fun? I've never had fun when I went to church. Well, maybe you heard the wrong words. because this book is full of love and full of good things. He says, I want your joy to be full. I've never seen anybody with full joy frowning. I always say, if you buy a new car, you can't wait to show it off. Look at my new car. Look at all the things it does. When you find Jesus, you can't stop talking about him because of all the things he always does. There you go. I like that. Coming to church is an outward expression of an inward conversion. It is a commitment. You want to be great? You want to be great in all you do? You got to make that commitment. Faith is a muscle. I know we got a lot of people like to work out. They're going to the gym. I see in Milford there's this place. There must be 10,000 the things they walk on and exercise machines. Everybody wants to work out. Faith is the same thing. It's a muscle. You want to be strong in the Lord, you got to use that faith muscle. You got to believe. Going through time spent with God, being around other believers, that's a great gift. Ever think about it? When you're around other believers, it's a great gift. You know why? Because they lift you up. They don't make fun of you. They don't mock you. They don't call you names. Another believer lifts you up. Even if they disagree with you. That's a hard one. Amen? Because we got family that doesn't talk to each other. Why? Because they disagree. How silly is that? If God was standing there, they would forget all those other things and just focus on love. Somebody read from Corinthians before. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Love never fails. You see, we got to have love. In order to have that love, it takes a small commitment from you. You see, being around other believers, teaching, sharing, asking, and learning. But guess what? It's between you and who? God. I can't make you do it. Randy, I can't make you get into God. It's between you and God. But I can maybe throw some seeds out that maybe you say, hey, I didn't know that. Or I want to know more. Because this God is so beautiful. This God is so real. I want you to be excited about him as I am. Because God has never failed me. I have failed God many times. Anybody want to join me in that? I have failed him many times. But he has never failed me. That's why I love him so much. The world will not give you what God can give you. And let me explain why. Stay with me now. A godly attitude, already draws favor. When you have a godly attitude, you draw favor from people. People like that. A humble spirit, that means a kind spirit. A spirit where you listen to people and are kind. It draws friends. How many want to have a lot of friends? Have that humble spirit because it will draw friends to you. People will want to be with you because your attitude is what? Good. Hallelujah. I like this one. A heart of forgiveness will bring blessings to you and those around you. A strength the world does not understand. A heart of forgiveness will change your life and the person with you and the people around them. Imagine, that's how powerful this word is, this message, this Jesus. When you have him in your heart and you have that spirit of God in your heart, you draw people to you. They want to be around good people. Anybody have somebody who, well, you call them up, you say, I can't call them up because they won't get off the phone for a half hour because they're going to tell me how bad their knee is and how bad their back is and I'm not feeling good today and you think I don't have time. So you don't call. But if you call somebody and they're up and they're happy and they're sharing good things, you don't want to get off the phone. It's the same with people. When you're walking with God and that spirit is inside of you, people will come around you. People will want to talk to you. People will want to find favor. And I'm telling the young folks, but I'm telling the older folks too, you find favor at work. You find favor with your teachers, with your professors. You find favor with people because your spirit is open to receive and you're giving it back. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I know I've said this through my life, and I'm just going to say, I'll let you fill in the blank. I don't know what I do if. Anybody, if you ever said that, and there are times in your life, I know when I was a young boy and I was with my daddy, we were out in the woods doing something together. I was fishing with my brother and we were together. I would say, boy, Lord, I don't know what I would do if I lost my brother. I don't know what I would do if. And here's the thing. We all face those times. Can I have an amen? Now, there's not only losing somebody, but something might happen. It might happen in school, might happen in your home. And you might say, I don't know what I would do if. And here's what God says about that. This is wonderful. God tells us not to worry about those moments until they arrive. Not to try to worry and put yourself in situations, oh, I don't know what I would do if, and then you get all worried, you get all sick inside, and you get afraid. God says not to worry about those things until the time arrives. And I tell you this, believe me, when those times come, and they will, God will lift you up. Could you say that with me, please? God will lift you up. When those times come, wisdom will guide you. And you will do, I love this part. I love, when I wrote this, I love this. When you face those situations and God is in your heart, you find a strength that you didn't know you had the day before. You find a peace that you didn't know you had the day before. And guess what you're going to do? Guess what? The impossible. What you think today is impossible, tomorrow when it happens and God's with you, you will do the impossible. You will face the impossible. And you will be helping other people who are hurting from that same pain. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it with my friends. I've seen it with my loved ones. I've seen it with my loved one when I went and spoke at my brother's memorial service. How much I knew God. How much I was in peace knowing that He's in a better place. I hear that all the time, but the Word said, I can't even imagine how great a place it is. Knowing that I see the pain. I was hurting inside, but my spirit lifted me up rejoicing because we're all going to be on those journeys together. So my heart was rejoicing and I was looking at some of my family members and I wanted to hug them and I wanted to shake them at the same time because they didn't know that God, they didn't have that strength to what if, and that time happened. And I'm telling you, I don't know what if, but if God is with you, He tells you not to worry. And I tell you, believe me just for the sake of believing me. Wisdom will guide you. God will lift you. And you will do the impossible. Say that with me. I will do the impossible. The Rams tried to do the impossible last Sunday. Did you notice? That ain't going to happen. Brady would never lose two in a row. That would have been the impossible. Oh, you're a Rams fan? Your daddy's back there, right? Did I mention that? He's a Red Sox fan?
No.
Is he a Yankee fan? Anytime you ever come on a Sunday here to our church, make it your church or ever, anytime, he gets to sit up here with me. Anytime. I don't even care who we got singing or what we got. You know, who's your favorite Yankee? Derek Jeter. He doesn't play anymore, though. He doesn't play anymore. Aaron Judge. Seems like the older I get, I cry easy. Anybody ever like that? When I was a kid, I used to laugh at my friends. I cry at commercials. My wife, I know she doesn't say anything, but I'm cry at commercials. Sometimes it's so. And you see the undercover boss, or at the end of the undercover boss, I wait for the end when he gives his stuff away to people who have been working so hard. People who were committed to their job. Imagine that. Say that with me. They were committed to their job at the end of the under boss, where he was kind of hiding out till the end. And he says, I'm going to give you $10,000 for a vacation. I'm going to give you $20,000 for a car. I want to give you $50,000 for a house. I start crying. I mean, I don't even know these people. When I was younger, it didn't matter. But see, it was so beautiful. I'm so glad that. But we went to Yankee Stadium. We try to go once or twice a year. And we went a couple of years ago and was with Lisa and Fran, and we were sitting out in left field. And I watch everything. I love my team. I love watching. And Aaron Judge came out by himself. There were players on the field throwing the ball around and throwing them in the infield. Hitting. He went out himself, and I told my wife, look at him. And he went out to right field all by himself, took his cap off, got down on his knee, and he prayed. Now, I don't know. But he prayed for maybe a minute and a half. I said, look at him. Look at that man. He gets out on the field right there with all the stadium and all the people, and he gets on his knee in front of them. He doesn't care who saw, because he's talking to God. He doesn't care what anybody else thought, because he was talking to God. And he put his cap down, knelt down, and he said a prayer. He said, how can I not love that man? How can I not root for a man like that? He's great. Why does he have to pray? He hits enough home runs. Because he loves God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It all starts today for all of us again. Today's the beginning. Today's the first day. Amen. How many times have you heard? This is it. It all starts today, guys. How much you want to know about God, how much you don't want to know about God. But if you want favor from God and you want to have that faith in God, it takes a little commitment, just a little time. That outward expression. Maybe you tell your mom and dad, let's go to church. You don't have to come. There's plenty of churches in Derby. Believe me, I grew up at St. Mary's. I'm just saying, find somewhere where you can hear the Word of God, where you can hear something on Sunday that relates to you. New friends. You're going to have new friends. You're going to have a bigger family. Trust me, when things happen in your life, Brother Art, I love you so much. When Art was going through, it was his family that kept him up. It was his family that kept him strong. And it's like all of us. When things happen in your life, you need that family. You need that support. And when good things happen to you, we all want to celebrate. Imagine that. If something good happens, we want to celebrate. Why? Because you're part of the what? Family. Support, encouragement. How many want encouragement? Come on. These young men are here today and we gave them applause. Why did we do that? To encourage them to do greater things. Amen? And that's what we're doing today, trying to encourage you to do greater things with God. It doesn't cost you anything. We have a free will offering in our church. We believe that your giving is between you and God. We know the church understands the finances and the people understand when you give it is given back. But we want you to have your giving between you and God. We don't ask you where you work and what you do. We want you to work with God. When God works with you, we know that it's so beautiful. It takes commitment to God, to Jesus. And this is where I'm closing now, so you can all stay with me. God is always there. Can I have you say that with me? God is always there. How awesome it becomes when you or you or you or you or anybody else, how awesome it comes, Matthew, when you realize it, that he's with you. At that moment, it changes from you thinking that he's with you to you knowing. And it changes your life. It changes your family's life. It changes your friend's life. You can do, are you ready? The impossible. All are welcome here. Say that with me. All are welcome here. In love, in unity, in joy. And we welcome you here always. And we do it in Jesus' name. Give him praise, church, this morning. I hope you receive something. We do this crazy stuff every Sunday with our family. We love you. You're always welcome here. Now we're going to do... Where's my bulletin? Check my bulletin. You believe Marilyn? She does the bulletin. She's sitting over there. She didn't have the Lord's Prayer in here. And she didn't have my sermon in here. I know, right? She's a Red Sox fan. Mutiny. Mutiny, Matthew. Behave yourself. We're going to do the communion now. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. I need Mike, John, and Alex going to join us with the Lord's Supper. And then, Randy, you're going to say a few words also? Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. What we're doing this morning, church, is simply what Jesus asked us to do. Do in remembrance what he did for us on that cross, once for all. He did it once for all. He was separated from the Father, took our sins upon him, and did this so that we may have salvation. We may have everlasting life with him. He did it for us, and all he asked in the church is to do this act in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Pass them out, would you, gentlemen? One has to go to Miss Marilyn up top. So. I miss Miss Joanne up on top. Thank you. and receiving Jesus in your heart again as you do this. That's what the greatest gift is for you, to remember and say thank you to the Lord. Thank you to Jesus for what he did for you, what he's doing in your life today. Thank him for where he wants to take you in your life, for the blessings he wants to bestow upon you. Don't miss out on any. Get to know him. Get to know his word so he can bless you beyond, and you can do the impossible with his strength and his love. Thank you, Lord. Expression of an inward conversion. We're just doing this to remember what Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name. So blessed if we had this many things to do on Sunday. God's house would be so blessed. Derby would be so blessed. I believe it. We can do great and mighty things with the Lord. We can be blessed and bless others and put Derby on the map if we just shine with the Lord. I believe it. If I get anybody to believe with me, then we're on a roll. Before we do the sacrament of the blood, let me just pray. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of the week. Forgive us for all, Lord, where we fell short this week, Lord, so we can be cleansed to receive it, Lord. The Bible just says we need to ask for forgiveness and we will receive it. David taught us about that. Jesus taught us. Peter, Paul taught us. John taught us. So we ask you, Lord, to forgive each and every one of us from our heart for our iniquities of the week, so we can receive the sacrament of your blood, which according to the book of Matthew is remission for all our sins. Receive it this morning. Praise the Lord.
Good job. How are we doing?
Thank you.
brothers and sisters here today, you never know when a miracle is going to happen. The miracle of life has already happened. God brought you here today. That's a miracle. My wife and I go out into the world after church and we sing at nursing homes. The Bible called us to do that. It's another form of our ministry that we go out and do for people who have nothing left, for people who are alone, and people who don't clap when we sing, and people who don't even know we're singing sometimes. You have so much to be thankful for. People would trade their place with you in a minute to be able to be here today. So let God fill you with more than you ever thought possible. As we receive this sacrament, let a miracle happen in your life today. Thank you, Lord. Take one. People fill this. Let me put it right down. Thank you, guys. Great help. Took the cup and poured the wine into a cup and blessed and said, "This is my blood being shed for you, according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins." He said, "Drink and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name, church." And do the impossible with the Lord. Just let him in. Find a place and just get going with that. It'll just so beautiful. So many gifts you can share and he can share with you. Give him praise, church, in this house this month. Did you invite Randy up? Randy's going to say something.
Randy, if you want to come up and say a couple words.
Thank you, Matthew. As Scoutmaster of Troop 3, I'd like to give greetings and welcome and thank you to all the members here of the Second Congregational Church for all your support throughout the years. Scouting was founded in the United States in 1910, and it started here at this Congregational Church in 1914, so only a few years later. And so this is our 105th year of having a scouting program here at the Congregational Church. We're so very fortunate to have the basement as our home. We use it quite often every Wednesday night. Sunday nights as well with our junior leaders, we do our planning. The Venture Crew 33 meets here every other Thursday. We have troop committee meetings here once a month on Thursdays. And then we have other activities as well, like last Saturday, the Super Bowl sub sale. So we hope you enjoyed your Super Bowl subs. Yeah. Our scouts worked very hard on that fundraiser and raised about $1,700 so that they can go on future camping trips and other activities. Our scouts are also working hard to be an asset to the community. 2 weekends ago on a Saturday, we had 20 scouts and venturers participate and become certified in CPR and basic first aid right in the basement of this church. So Pastor Larry. Coming up, we have next weekend, we're going cabin camping up at our scout camp at the Strang Scout Reservation in Goshen. So we'll be up in the cabin this time next Sunday. You'll have to think about us, but we'll be nice and warm, so don't worry about that. Also coming up, we have a Eagle Scout Court of Honor coming up here in this church, and this is one of the best places, I think, in the Valley to have an Eagle Scout Court of Honor. So thank you. We have Elliot Moscato and James Cobal will receive their eagle on March 2nd here. It's a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, so we're looking forward to that. Also coming up in May is our 95th annual Scout Gang Show, which is being held at the Derby Methodist Church, the home of Cub Scout PAC 3, and that church has hosted the gang show for all 95 years. So we hope you can come out to see us, our scouts perform, sing, and tell jokes, and we have a good time. This coming summer, we're sending 5 scouts from our troop to the World Scout Jamboree, which for the first time in 50 years is being held here in the United States in West Virginia. So we have 5 scouts that we're sending to that. We're also going to be hosting 2 scouts this summer from Derby, England, which is our sister city troop in Derby, England. And in 2020, part of the reason why we did the sub sale and future fundraisers, we're doing a trip to Derby, England, like we did in 2015. We're doing it again in 2020 for 2 weeks to Derby, England, so we can go camping with the scouts there. So our scouts are very busy. So Pastor Larry, thank you for all you do. Thank you for lifting us up and your words of wisdom this morning. We tried to teach our duty to God as part of the scout oath, and the 12th point of the scout law is a scout is reverent, and this really helps us drive that point across. So I really appreciate you for that. So thank you. No. We have a couple of people here from our troop that we'd like to recognize who are being honored by the Housatonic Council of Boy Scouts of America for their efforts. We have our very own John Wardzala is getting the President's Award this year, so congratulations to John Wardzala. And a very special award is called the Silver Beaver Award. They give one out for each council every year. And this year's recipient is our Troop 3 Advancement Chairperson, Margie Kish. Where's Margie Kish? Right there, Margie Kish. Congratulations, and Margie. So they're being recognized for their efforts. We have a lot of leaders, a lot of adults that make our program possible, and we're very fortunate to have that.
Amen to that.
So we have our annual Scout Sunday patch that we'd like to hand out to all of our Scout participants. First, what we're going to do is we're going to have the Cub Scouts come forward. We have Mr. Dan Cyril, who's the Cub Master of Pack 3. He's been the Cub Master for 25 years, and he's done a great job, and many of our Boy Scouts become start in Pack 3. So Dan, if you will hand out patches to your Cub Scouts, if Cub Scouts will come forward to receive your patch. Weeblos and Cub Scouts from Pack 3.
Can't do it without help, Randy, right?
That's right.
Can't do it without help.
Dan, take one for yourself. All right, and then our senior patrol leader, this is Mike Sefcik. He's the youth leader of the entire troop and does an outstanding job running all the programs. He's going to be handing out the patches to all the Boy Scout Troop 3 scouts and leaders. Please stand up and come to Michael, all right? Leaders. So the patch they're handing out this year is a special patch. This year, it's actually celebrating 80 years from last year. So 1938 to 2018 is 80 years that Irving Berlin's God Bless America has existed. Irving Berlin donated all the royalties, and the family still continues to donate all the royalties to God Bless America, to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America. And so that's what this patch represents this year. So, Michael, if you can also bring a patch out to Marilyn there in the red shirt. Make sure she gets one to the left. She's in charge of the program book every year. We're very fortunate to have her. And then we'd like to give one to Pastor Larry. And where's Doreen? Well, she's way in back there. Run one down to her. We should have enough for anybody who wants one, so at the end of the service, we'll be giving them out at the back of the church. I'd like to give one to Mrs. Slowick as well for the outstanding musical arrangements that she does. So, Pastor Larry, thank you again for all that you do.
You guys are the heroes. You're teaching and leading all the years that you've done, raising children from to be men today. I think that's the greatest gift. Can we give these men another hand, everybody? Just say thank you. Thank you. Hi, Matthew. Give Matthew another hand, too. I'm very proud of him. Never want you to miss church, but anytime you want to come here, you're welcome to come here, okay? We love having you. You're awesome. We're going to ask you to stand, and where's Tom Robertson? We're going to do the offering. Now, our church is a free will offering. We won't pass a plate. We'll just ask you to give to God the way, you know, the Bible says to be a cheerful giver. And the Bible says when you give, it is given back. And everybody knows it's not just money. When you give God love, when you give somebody love and forgiveness, it is given back. So let's ask, and everybody sing. Joanne, if you would. praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The church says, Amen. We have gold in our hands. We have a church in this town where we can do great and mighty things. And we have people who love one another. We have a family of God in this church. We have givers in this church who give from their heart. We ask you, Lord, to take this offering from these beautiful people today and bless their lives. Let them see that you do give back, Lord. Now that they've opened the door and they've opened that window to receive it, Lord, let your word shine through to them so they can tell each other what you've done in their lives, Lord. But we give this offering to you, asking you to multiply it for this church, for this ministry, so we can be a beacon to Jesus. We can heal Derby. We can heal the valley. We can tell more people about God. All are welcome in this house, Lord. Help us to welcome them in with this offering. In Jesus' name I pray. Deacon Bill will take it.